The reading this morning is from Jude, verse 17 to 25. That's the end of the book. It's on page 1232 in the Church Bibles. We're following on from last week, actually. And there's a heading for this reading called A Call to Persevere. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Let's pray. As we have prayed already, Lord, we just pray again. We thank you for your word, for this Bible, for the truth that we find in this Bible. And we pray that you would help us to have hearts that are ready to receive what you have to say to us today. Help us to be attentive to your voice. Come by your Spirit and breathe life into my words. May they be words of truth from you, Lord, and may we all know you better. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in our final week of looking at this letter written by Jude, as has been mentioned, a brother of Jesus, an early leader in the church. Could I have the first slide up, please, Ewan? Now, I wonder if you've ever eaten a piece of fruit like an apple, expecting it to be crisp and fresh and sweet and tasty, only to find out that inside it's gone a bit soft and sour. Not a very nice experience, is it? The goodness has left it, and it started to go bad. Jude writes this letter to the church, and he wants to warn the church about something good going bad. Something that is life-giving, the gospel of Jesus. The invitation to step into the life with Jesus, living in Jesus. He's worried that the church are going to step away from this and fall away from this, going from good to bad. And Jude talks about different ways of living. He doesn't talk so much about doctrine and theology in this letter. He talks about a godly way of life and an ungodly way of life. He says here what the ungodly people are doing. They are in verse 4, and if you've got a Bible, please do have it in front of you. In Jude, verse 4, the ungodly people are perverting the grace of God into a license for immorality, and they're denying Jesus as their Lord. Jude says, don't listen to them. Don't walk in that way. That is an ungodly way. The grace of God saves us, but it doesn't give us license to do just what we feel like doing. the grace of God positions us to live with Jesus as our boss, as our Lord, as our master. And he points out this ungodly lifestyle is in opposition to Jesus' commands. In my Bible here, the whole passage about ungodly people says, the sin and doom of ungodly people. Hope you're pleased you came to church this morning. It's good to see you. Instead of bowing down to Jesus, they just feel they've been given license to do whatever they feel like doing. And Jude names in this letter that they're falling into sexual immorality and financial greed in particular. And Jude talks about the judgment that awaits people who live opposed to Christ's ways, who are not living the godly life, but living the ungodly life. And in verse 12, he paints this picture, which really catches me. I don't know if it catches you. He says, these people, these ungodly people, they're like autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. They are twice dead. They don't receive life and they don't give life. This isn't what Jesus offers us. This isn't why Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven. Jesus died for you and for me that we might step into life, that we might receive his life. It's good news. And not only might we know his life, but we might share it with others, that it might be seen in us, that we might somehow be part of others coming to receive the life of Jesus. We're to be receiving life and giving life, not having no roots and bearing no fruit. The godly life and the ungodly life are very distinct from each other. We get to these verses today, and we're looking from 17 down to 25 to the end of the letter. And I'm going to particularly focus on verses 20 and 21. Jude says, don't do this. Don't fall away. Don't turn away. Don't let the apple go bad. Don't drop it on the floor. He wants to encourage the church to contend for the faith, to hold on, to walk this godly path, to be in this place that is life-giving for you in Jesus and for others around you. And in verses 20 to 21, he says four key things that we're going to look at. He says, build yourselves up, pray in the Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love, and wait for the mercy of Jesus. Four things: build, pray, keep, and wait. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. The first thing I want to notice here is that it's plural. It's not build yourself up, go off on your own somewhere, even doing good things like studying your Bible on your own. We do that on our own. But Jude is saying here, come together and do this building together. You are to be built up as a temple in which God's Holy Spirit lives. Build yourselves up together. This is the godly way of life. The ungodly way, verse 19, just before this, the ungodly are those who divide. These are the people who divide you. But you build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Encourage one another and build each other up. That's why we gather this morning. Gary and I had a visit from the Coppice School a couple of weeks ago. Some of the classes came to visit us in the front part of this hall with the wall closed there. So they were coming to visit St. Mary's Church. And they came with a question. And the question was, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? What a great question to wrestle with. We've talked about this during Alpha courses and 3-2-1, and we were chatting with these primary school children about this. And as we talked about it, they had some great answers, and they understood and they said, well, you don't have to go to church because it's about Jesus. But it sounds really, really good to go to church if you're a Christian. Sounds like a really good idea. In fact, I would say it's really hard to be a Christian and not be part of a community of worshippers, not be part of the family of God, to not be part of a church. If you're not part of a church and you want to follow Christ, I think you miss out on an awful lot. And not only do you miss out, but the community miss out on what you can bring. Each of us has something to bring to the community. We're to build ourselves up. It's a communal thing. And the word that Jude uses for build means to build on, to build on to something. We don't start from scratch. We build on to the foundation of what we have already received, which is our most holy faith in the one who we've been worshipping already today, in Jesus, who died, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father in heaven, the one who forgives us and invites us into that new life and calls us to follow him as our Lord, to follow him in obedience. That's the faith upon which we are to build ourselves together. No other way to the Father except through Jesus the Son. No other way. That is our foundation. So we're to be a community that live this out, that demonstrate this in who we are and how we are. We're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And we do that together. Jude goes on, pray in the Holy Spirit. Again, this is in contrast to the ungodly people. The godly way is to pray in the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 19. These ungodly people follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But if you are in Jesus Christ, you do have the Spirit. It's a promise. You have the Spirit of God living inside you if you are surrendered to Jesus as Lord. The Spirit who guides us, the Spirit who comforts us, the Spirit who helps us to pray when we have no idea what to pray. Romans 8 talks a lot about that. Jude says, gather together and pray in the Spirit. Learn to listen to the Spirit's prompting. Quieten yourself before him. Listen for his whisper. And pray as he nudges and guides. It's an acknowledgement that we will never pray as we should without the Holy Spirit prompting us and leading us. I want to gently encourage some of us this morning to step out in this. Sometimes it's hard to pray out loud with other people, with other Christians. But I want to encourage you just to be a bit braver in that. Listening to the Spirit's guiding. Tonight we're meeting for a prayer gathering, for prayer and praise tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be gathering, we'll be praying in small groups. It's a safe place to pray. We'll be listening to the Spirit's prompting, his leading. How does he help us to pray? What does he call us to pray into? I encourage you to come along tonight to pray in the Holy Spirit together. And reading Jude's letter, I pray that each one of us here will not fall from faith, will not turn from Jesus, will not go from the godly to the ungodly way of life, that we won't be led into error. I pray that for you. Please pray that for me. We build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We pray in the Holy Spirit. We are to keep ourselves in God's love. And again, this is plural. Keep yourselves in God's love. Stay in that way of life that God calls you to. Don't wander from it. I was watching a program on farming recently. And there was a farmer who wanted to keep his goats in one particular field. And he was finding it hard to use fences to contain the goats. The fences were getting knocked over, the goats were demolishing them. So he found these sensors that you can attach around the goat's neck. And they link up via satellite to your phone, to your mobile phone. And you can, on your mobile phone, you can get a map and you can sketch out the boundary in the field where you want the goats to stay. It's like an imaginary boundary, invisible boundary. And when the goats venture towards the boundary, a little beep starts happening in the collar around their neck. Beep, 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 beep. And if they don't listen to that beep, eventually they get a little very, very mild electric shock. And they come back from the boundary, this invisible boundary that they cannot see. And then they learn, when they start hearing this beep, I'm not going to go any further. To keep ourselves in God's love is to train ourselves to stay where he wants us to stay in that godly way of life, to not wander over and cross the line, to be obedient to Christ. The ungodly way is disobedient. In verse 6, there's angels who are disobedient. They abandon their proper dwelling, Jude says. We're not to abandon our proper dwelling. We're to stay in that way of life that God calls us to stay in that place. The word keep can mean a few different things. It's a wonderful word. It can mean obey, as in 1 John. We know that we have come to know him, that's Jesus, if we keep his commands, if we obey his commands. To keep ourselves in God's love is to be obedient to Jesus. The word keep can mean hold on to, as in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To hold on to that unity. That's how we keep ourselves in God's love. And keep can mean to maintain a certain state. James writes of keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. To keep ourselves in God's love. Right at the beginning of this letter, Jude says that we have been called, we are loved in God, and we are kept for Jesus. God promises to keep us, to keep you, but he doesn't hold us so tightly that we can't wander away. He wants us to learn what it means to be obedient, to choose him, to bow to him, to live that obedient life, remaining in that place, that way of life he calls us to, that proper dwelling, keeping ourselves in his love. We build ourselves up, we pray in the Spirit, we keep ourselves in God's love, and we wait. We wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. You know, so much of the Christian life is about waiting, isn't it? Anybody here waiting before God for something? Some of us have been waiting for a long, 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 long time. And it's hard to see when that waiting will end. But so much of the Christian life is waiting, learning to trust God in the waiting, learning not to rush ahead of God, but to wait for him. And Jesus says we're to be alert and ready in our waiting. Right, we read this in Luke 12. Jesus says, be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him, waiting ready. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. So be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. As we wait, we are to wait in a posture of being ready. This posture, I believe, is the posture of the Christian. It's the posture of the one who follows Christ, looking ahead and seeing glimpses of God's coming kingdom, seeing glimpses of God at work and longing for more of it, anticipating that day when his kingdom comes in all its fullness. It's a posture looking forwards, waiting in anticipation. We know how the story ends. And because we know the end, because we know there is a glorious hope in Christ, we live accordingly now. We live in anticipation now of what we hope and believe is to come. This is what Jude wants the believers to do, to live godly lives in anticipation of the fullness of God's kingdom for all eternity. Living obedient to Jesus as Lord today. Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. All these things are about keeping ourselves healthy with God. They're spiritual disciplines to help us to stay in that place, to live this godly life by God's grace, to stay faithful. Spiritual disciplines to keep us spiritually healthy, to keep that apple from going bad. But having tended to ourselves, Jude then says, look to others. Dear friends, I've done that bit already. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. In love, we are to remember and to recognize that anyone who is not living with Jesus as Lord, who's not living that godly life, is living an ungodly life, and they haven't got that promise of eternal life ahead of them. It's a tough thing to remember. It's not a pleasant thing to always think about, but we're called to tend to them. As the Message translation puts it, we are to be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. We're called to snatch people from error. Jude helps us to care for ourselves, to care for others. And then Jude concludes this beautiful letter by looking up. How do we contend for the faith? How do we do this well? How do we ensure that the apple doesn't go bad? We keep our eyes on the one who alone can save us. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Jude says, worship him. Worship him. Don't worship yourself. Don't worship your body. Don't fall into sexual immorality. Don't worship this world. Don't fall into financial greed, the things of this world that will pass away. Worship him who died, who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Worship him. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, I pray for us that we would live godly lives. I pray that we would learn what it means to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Teach us to pray by your Holy Spirit. Help us to keep ourselves in your love, obedient to you. And help us to wait in anticipation of that day when your kingdom comes in all its fullness. And as we treasure this gospel of Jesus, as we contend for the faith, as we treasure this good news, may we hold it out to others that they too may see and receive eternal life in you. Amen.